I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, are you all right?
Yeah.
No vomiting.
No. It's the end of the year for public school employees, and we're dying. No, we're all fine.
You're ready for the break.
We're all ready for the break.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. To not be paid for 2 months.
Yes, but you know, it would be nice to have a summer break.
Yes, it is. The schedule is fantastic. The pay is not what
Sorry.
It on earth.
That was my sweet baby Jesus.
The sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, the chocolate peanut butter porter. You're welcome.
Ooh.
By the Duclaw Brewing Company. I think I've had it before. It's quite delightful. Sorry, y'all.
No, it looks fantastic. I have to say, we've had a lovely evening of pizza and
entertainment.
There yes. was entertainment
yes.
provided. We listened to a lot of fire truck songs. So many fire
There's
truck
songs. There's a group
songs.
Called 20 Trucks, if you all are interested. And my son loves to listen to it. They're a group that sings just random songs about trucks and construction trucks. And there's one called Aircraft De-Icer.
Ooh.
That's a favorite of his.
Whoa.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a... oh, gosh. What's her name? From the 80s. Kate Bush.
Yes.
Kate Bush songs. That Airplane De-Icer has a very Kate Bush sounding. Yeah. And then, you know, what was the one? Hook and Ladder.
We heard that one on repeat.
Yep.
And then there was another one.
Just the fire truck song. Yeah.
Okay. That was a good one. They're both a bop.
Well... when he hears the fire truck song is when he goes and he puts on his little fireman costume and he just starts running around.
Yep. It was a lot of entertainment there.
And then he turned into a puppy.
He was a dog, and then he wiped out, like hardcore wiped out. The knee hit the table. It was game over.
There was a lot of crying.
It was game over.
Yep.
And I was like,
I had to kiss it.
Well, he did that thing where like...
hold his breath.
Where you know it's about to be like...
big scream.
Yeah, like he was actually hurt because a lot of times like they'll bounce off and you just ignore it and let it go and it's fine. But this was a like
held his breath, had his mouth open, and you knew the scream was coming.
And then it came.
And it did.
It came.
Yeah. And he was tired. He's
yeah.
I love him, but he takes after his mother. He's kind of a clumsy kid. He's kind of clumsy.
But he normally just bounces right off.
Sort of. But he's just kind of a clumsy kid. He's not a super athletic kind of kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's very intelligent, very smart guy. But he's just not going to be Mr. Athlete. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But your mom had bought him, and I told you this earlier, your mom had bought him these construction boots, and those were the ones we told you a couple weeks ago he discovered, and they're like four sizes too big.
Yes.
And he can only wear them in the house. He's obsessed with them, but he trips a lot in them. And I told Haley that we had to put the boots in the witness protection program, and he currently cannot find them, and he has asked about them, and he said, where are my boots? And I said, I don't know, honey.
They walked away.
They're probably waiting until you're bigger. And he was like, no, I'm bigger now. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Use birth control, folks. Now, I'm not, here's the thing. I'm grateful. I love my kid. That's not the issue. But it's hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of meltdowns.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, I am a person.
And he has tantrums, too.
Who does not really have any maternal instinct. There's not a maternal bone in my body, really. Like, I'm kind of just resigned to, I'm going to be the cool aunt that you hang out with every once in a while. Like, I'm going to be really great at, you know, picking you up when you're drunk on the side of the road. where you're like, please don't tell my mom. And I'm like, I got you. We won't do that. And then I will tell your mom.
Good.
but I'm going to make you believe that I'm not. And then I'm going to convince your mom that she found out a different way than me telling.
And so I'll play it. So we
still have that.
And I'll play it.
Relationship.
So your friend Cooper told me.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to your Auntie Haley.
Your Auntie Haley actually dropped you off drunk at the front door.
He heard you were coming tonight, and he was so excited. He, yay!
Oh, yeah. We were on the phone, because I was on my way out here, and traffic was horrific.
I was also stuck in that traffic.
So we realized we were, like, probably 25 cars behind each other. I was behind, and I could hear him over the, like, hands-free
the Bluetooth
thing. Where he was like, is Haley coming over?
Auntie Saley,
yeah, because the H is hard.
Yeah. And Auntie Saley. And he went, yay!
It was really cute. And I'm like, I absolutely will be there.
Yes, he was absolutely very excited about that.
See, I love other people's children. I do not want them in my house full time.
No. I don't blame you.
I said that the other day to somebody else.
Were they horrified?
And they were like, I don't think you can say that out loud.
Of course you can.
Because there was a picture of someone I work with had their baby, an adorable baby, very cute little girl. And I was like, oh, so cute. And like, oh, I would love to, you know, meet and hold and snuggle that sweet baby. I don't need it in my house.
I feel like having a child has made me less maternal. Does that sound weird?
No.
So I was the person who was like, I'm just built to be a mom. Like, I've just always be a mom, you know? And I didn't have my son until I was 36. But it's really interesting because, you know, once you do it and you have a child, you're kind of like, all right. It's like the novelty of it, like other people's children, you're like, oh, sweet. And now it's like, yeah, I'm good. So I'm like, probably one and done, because I'm like, we're good.
So I work with someone who, she and her husband, they have between them that, well, they have three kids, and they are 6, 2, and 1.
Ooh, that's a lot.
And when I'm getting, like, we work together, so when I'm getting ready for work, I think, and I'm like having a hard time like getting my life together and getting out the door and like doing all these things, it's literally just me and my dog, and I'm like having a hard time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated, and like I can't get everything together and I can't do this, and I just have to sit for a moment and center myself and go, Tiffany has three children. Tiffany has three children, and she can do it, and she does it well.
Yep.
And she's always put together. Like, she would die like if I said this, because like she doesn't think so, but like she's gorgeous. Like, I feel like her hair always looks perfect. Like, her face, like, she's just, like, a pretty person and has her, like, just, I'm like, you are, like, you looks have like you it have your together. Life together. Like, she'll come in and be, like, just, like, talking about, you know, how crazy her morning was. And I'm like, I couldn't get my dog to pee in the yard this morning. I thought I was going to have a meltdown. And you literally got three children and your husband together.
Yeah.
And out the door, dropped off, and you're only like 2 minutes late to work. Meanwhile, I rolled in like 10 minutes late, and I'm like disheveled and look like a homeless person. I'm like, I'm here to work, kids.
But the dog peed.
I was like, I'm ready to work with the children.
I know. I do that too, where I'm like, you know, we had a rough morning and he got up at 4:45 and wouldn't go back to sleep. And so, you know, and then he wants to eat breakfast and he wants to play, and I'm trying to get ready for work. And my child is very clingy. You know, he's an only child. He is a mama's boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so follows me wherever I go,
whatever
I'm doing, and then finds himself into some mischief, wasting toilet paper, hiding my makeup, dropping my bronzer on the floor and it going everywhere. You know, like, just like some days you're like, can we just sleep in? Can you just sleep in?
Just once.
Just like, let me get up before you. Because usually it's him going, Mama, I'm awake. Mm-hmm. Like, oh God.
It's starting
so early.
Yeah.
So.
Well, on that note.
We're going to get emails.
It's fine. I don't even care anymore. Not that we it's don't only love from my y'all. Friend
Katrina.
It's fine. Hi, Katrina. How are
what
you?
Up? She's gonna. I can hear her right now saying, "That could have taken 2 minutes."
It's fine, Katrina. You want to come do this? Get over here.
She has before.
I know she has. And
she's lovely. Welcome to come back.
You're welcome.
Get on your gypsy caravan and get over
yes,
here.
Yes, oh my God.
It's a great song.
I still think of that song and her voice to it.
I know.
It was beautiful.
She's great. She's very talented.
I need her. She can be on our new album. Heart in a Box.
Heart in a Box. I'm waiting.
Featuring it's Katrina.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Got your heart in a box. I haven't thought about that in a while.
All right. Okay.
What do you got for us today?
So many things.
Heart in a Box.
We are going to head to my favorite place, Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia.
I've never been there, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I haven't.
It's magical.
Really? Is it that
great?
Yes.
It's my... I love Colonial Williamsburg.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
You look like you're going to hurt me. Like, okay. I mean, I'm not going to come at you. It's totally fine. I respect that.
Just like, I mean... Colonial times, were they problematic? Absolutely. Do I love Colonial Williamsburg? Yes, I do. It's haunted as hell. It is people in historically accurate costumes. It is, are like blacksmithing places. They teach you about life in the colonial times. It's just like an immersive experience.
I like that.
There are shops that you can, like, buy things at and, like, little eateries that are all, like, themed.
Have you ever been accused of being a witch or anything while you're there?
No. New goal, though. I want to go. I might go this summer.
I think you should
because
if you have the freedom. You should go.
Love Colonial Williamsburg.
Okay.
It's fantastic. And we're going to talk about this place. And I still, like, I dream about this place because it's so freaking cool.
I mean, just your wording is really intense. I can tell you're passionate.
Never
about
been.
It.
You have to go.
Please don't hurt me.
It's so cool.
I'll okay. go. Okay.
We'll go together.
might want to rethink that. I'll meet you there.
Like
maybe we'll drive separately.
Dirt roads, horses, and buggies.
Can you ride on the buggies and like do
so.
A tour? Okay, so I'm down for
I
that.
I was too poor for that, so I walked. I was a poor colonial member.
Oh, do you get to be
no
a per- oh no?
No.
Okay.
I just that's but you have to just embody it.
Oh, I want to, but I want to be a rich colonial person.
Okay. Well, see, I was a witch.
a poor witch
a
at that.
A poor witch.
A poor witch.
It's fine. Right. Okay.
Tell
so
me more.
We are taking it back to 1773.
Yep.
Williamsburg, Virginia. We're going to talk about the public hospital for persons of insane and disordered minds.
Sounds right up your alley.
Yep.
Okay.
This was also known as the Eastern State Hospital.
As opposed to the Western.
As opposed to the Western.
Yeah.
There
was no West.
It's not.
well, state.
Right.
Western part of the state.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. But not
Western America.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
As
okay.
we knew it.
This is the first American hospital that was devoted to treating the mentally ill in the country.
Interesting.
It's the very first one.
Okay.
It was first proposed by Francis Farquhar? I don't know. He was the royal governor of the colony of Virginia.
Obviously.
At the time.
So fancy.
Mm-hmm. So he kind of made this... proposal, and in 1776 they admitted October 12th 1773 they admitted their first patient.
Okay.
So like most early mental health facilities, treatment was not great.
I mean, we're talking about revolutionary times.
Yes It could be pretty brutal. There were several bad procedures. One of them was dunking patients in ice baths.
Yep.
Until they lost consciousness.
Yes.
Which I hadn't really heard of that one before. I'd heard of like the ice bath things, but until they lost consciousness was kind of a new one for me.
Because they feel like it's resetting the brain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was like the precursor to like convulsive shock mm-hmm. therapy. Which is wild. So, you know, it's not unsimilar to waterboarding in a way.
Yeah.
where they would just kind of do this until they lost consciousness. They would bring them out of it, of the water, before they drowned.
Or died.
Or died, yeah. So they could just reset their brains.
Or had hypothermia.
Yep. Theory behind the treatment was that it would shock patients back to their senses. Mm-hmm. There were other treatments, including bleeding of patients, and something with bowel movements. I guess just forcing a lot of bowel movements.
The old school ideology on that was part of your mental illness came from you not being able to properly defecate. So if we were able to remove the roughage and junk from your body, it would somehow get rid of your mental illness that would come out, obviously. And so then you would start to feel more normal.
Yeah. And they also believe they could do this by inducing vomiting.
Same.
Too.
And there also is a theory that it gets rid of evil. Yes. So a lot of mental illness was based on a religious thought of Satan or being evil.
We're going to talk about evil here in a minute.
Well, you're right here. I mean,
hello.
I'm just kidding. it's all right.
Oh, God. It's happening. So, like this, you know, electrocution and all that also kind of came in and became this kind of standard form of treatment. Fun fact, I had a professor when I was getting my associate's degree that was very old school, taught abnormal psychology, believed that electric therapy, shock therapy was like the way to go. Still. This was like probably 2012. And he was like, so literally to the point where if I didn't know the answer on a quiz, I would write something about electric shock therapy and how like I thought it was, I did not believe this, how I thought like this could tie into that, and he would give me like full credit for it.
So this is currently known as ECT.
Yes.
Electroconvulsive therapy. It's that idea that if your brain waves are, you know, not really working in a line, that we can shock the body and it will put those brain waves back in sync movement, right? So after years and years and years of doing this, and it's hellacious on the body because it creates these involuntary movements in the body where you are fully awake and functional, but this is happening, you know, it's very scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, not pleasant.
No, thank you.
So, this is only in cases of, like, nowadays, like, severe mental illness that this is, like, a last case scenario sort of thing to try and help you. So, I find that interesting that in 2012 he was such an advocate of that as almost, like, a first line of defense.
Yeah, I think he was, like, 80-something when he was teaching this class.
Oh, he was probably a lot of Gestalt.
He was a huge Freud fan.
Oh, no.
Really
no,
liked
no.
that guy.
Don't even get me started.
So that's kind of what I was dealing with. So anyway, they were doing this back in colonial times, so this is not something we should probably be doing. So
you want a bath?
No, thank you.
Okay.
doctors around this time. They also believed that the kind of a certain amount of intimidation would convince patients to change their behavior, like it's a choice.
So this is kind of like a scared straight program.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
You ever got shanked in the yard? Oh, that's another episode.
So kind of by thinking about today's standards for mental health, the way this was all set up was really nightmarish. Like worst case scenario kind of thing. But, you know, given what the society was at the time, it was kind of like, you know, we either imprison them or we tie them up at home and just, like, let them rot kind of thing. So it's kind of, it's difficult to understand that even having a place where there was any kind of treatment was a step forward from what they were doing.
Actually, that's true. And at some point, you know, this is the process of studying, and it's terrible to say, but it's horrible to say, but you almost have to have guinea pigs to be, and it's horrible to say about human beings, but to be able to create treatments and see what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, before this, there was nothing. This was the first thing.
Right.
That there was.
I mean, you just lock your crazy family members in a closet.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm like, well, that's Haley for you.
Yeah, that's where she is. Or
get in that bathtub.
Like, you know, tie them down to like a bed or something and like just restrain them. And then they die from like sores and infections and all kinds of horrific things.
Or just
things.
Go crazy. I mean, just.
Yeah, or turn them out on the street and like let them wander into the woods and be like, all right.
Yeah, is that what happened to you?
Yes.
She came out of the woods recently.
Yeah, absolutely. So this royal governor, Francis, whatever his last name is, he was like, he really believed that this was not okay. We need to do something, you know, that like he founded this place because he's like, we can't just, you know, turn these people out and not try to do something. So there's a public speech that he made in 1766, so before the hospital.
Bring out your crazies!
And he argued for the legal confinement for the, quote, set of people who are deprived of their senses and wander about the country, terrifying the rest of their fellow creatures.
Interesting wording.
Yeah, so that's kind of what, you know, he didn't want these people just wandering around, scaring everyone, but also like for their own good too,
and potentially maybe a threat to themselves or others.
Yeah, that's kind of where he was at. So this was all kind of leading up to the Revolutionary War. So a lot of the rest of his speech was things about like taxes and reconciliation between England and the colonies. So this little kind of snippet was like, hey, we should also do something about mental health care. He still was kind of backwards in his thinking. Again, this is the 1700s. So he believed still that a lot of people who were mentally ill kind of chose
mental illness
to be mentally ill. And that's just kind of, you know, we just have to figure out how to help them not make this choice.
Punish them for their behavior. Mm-hmm.
So he envisioned this place, this hospital, to be a place where people could be cured by physicians, who would try to restore them to reason.
Sort of retrain the brain.
Yes, that's kind of what they were at. So physicians believed that any kind of deviant or antisocial behavior reflected the inner battle between good and evil inside that individual's soul.
So, I mean, you got to think of the time period. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, this is kind of past the Puritan period, but kind of more puritanical, like it's a good and evil. Yeah. You must have a demon inside of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of we'll do, like, we'll get a cross, we'll beat the hell out of you, we'll do what we need to do to get the, exercise the demon and the mental illness from your body.
Yes. So, that's kind of where we're at. They believed that forces outside of the body and beyond the environment controlled our behavior.
Where's my crucifix?
Yeah, pretty much that. So with this, there's kind of this weird dichotomy going on where they're like, yes, it's a choice, but also there are outside evil forces impacting this. So you're kind of helpless to do anything about it. So that's a weird sort of...
Maybe that you are, your senses are down, so you're vulnerable to Satan.
Yeah.
Yes. Exercising these demons in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where we're getting kind of some of the exorcist style treatments going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the best that somebody could hope for was to persuade that force to leave. Like to, and that they were doing that in a way pretty much through like torture.
Mm-hmm.
Of like cause so much discomfort that whatever evil force is causing you to be mentally ill like leaves your body. like an exorcism, kind of. So most patients at this time spent most of their time in the hospital chained to the wall of their cells. And some, though, were allowed to roam free, but they had to be strapped into straitjackets.
I mean, and definitely this is preferable to being at home tied up to your bed.
Yeah.
I mean, in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
Still horrible, but wow.
Yep. So this is kind of the mentality of we're building this hospital. So this is where...
And if you think about it, this is so counterintuitive because we are creating insanity.
Yes.
People go insane when they're treated like animals.
Yeah. So they developed this hospital to kind of ease the burden of care that was just on families.
Yeah.
Or on the, like, the local people to take care of these people.
Were families paying? Like, who is funding this?
I don't really know. I think it was just a... So, no, we're going to talk about that. So, this was kind of a... as it gets later on, there's a lot of legislation that we'll talk about. But pretty much they were, like, sentenced there.
Oh. Almost like they committed a crime.
Yes. This was a crime. Mental illness was a crime. So, you were put there because we didn't want to deal with you. Well,
nowadays, everybody would be locked up.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we at. So where we're at, the original hospital,
that's where we at,
24 cells. And it was originally a 2-story brick building. There was a keeper's quarters and a meeting room for the board of directors. Cells had a heavy door with a barred window that locked onto kind of that central corridor through there. A straw filled mattress was in the room, and a chamber pot. There were wall chains attached to the patient's legs or wrist and then attached to the wall. And that was to prevent them from escaping. And they also used this as a form of therapy.
Sure.
So, yeah. So there was this kind of attitude that people needed to be restrained so that they could get a hold of their senses. Like, you need to not be able to... For you to be able to find yourself and cleanse this evil out of your body, you don't need to be able to wander around and have any kind of free will.
So it's kind of like how they swaddle babies, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of swaddling a baby is that so they feel like they're in the womb and safe and all those things. So similar principle. Yeah. I mean, if you are in a straitjacket, essentially it's like kind of like being swaddled, except, you know, with locks on it and whatever. Mm-hmm. But kind of that idea of you can't hurt anybody, but you're like giving yourself a hug in a way.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're getting really deep into that, it could be a similar approach. However, if you're in it all the time, that's not good.
It's not great.
It's not good.
It's not great.
It's not good for your body.
No. Okay, so in 1790, we're going to jump in some years here. We're going to jump to 1790.
We won the revolution, by the way.
We did do that.
We're free, America.
Woo.
F you, King George.
Bye. In 1790.
No taxation without representation. Sorry.
We have high-fenced yards. These are also known as mad yards.
Prison.
And they were added at each of the hospital, each end of this hospital, so that the inmates, which is what they called them, could exercise outside.
Wonderful.
So we did that. We're going to jump again to 1800s, a little bit. Oh, jumping okay. Kind of in. Treatment of mentally ill patients becomes a little bit less harsh as we kind of enter the 1800s. There's a new approach that emphasized firm but kind encouragement to have patients change their behaviors. So we're still not great, but we're getting better.
Sounds like they were still being like beaten.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. They introduced some organized work activities to keep patients busy. There was a spinning room, which I think is like Spinning yarn?
It couldn't be like
not like spin class on the stationary bike.
Just one more mile. No. You got this, girlfriend.
Like spinning like yarn.
Although I think that wool. An exercise spinning class would probably help someone who's dealing sure with a mental would. Health issue.
There's a shoe shop and a carpentry shop in the hospital.
Okay.
There was a vegetable garden and a wood yard on the grounds that offered work opportunities for male patients.
This was so that they could make money yes. off
oh, absolutely.
The institution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. The use of restraints was not really something they were doing anymore. They
Good.
Were being used a lot less often.
Good.
And patients were allowed to take carriage rides into town.
That's lovely.
So they were able to get out and about. By the 1880s, the hospital had grown, and there were 450 patients and 10 structures on the property.
Wow.
So we've gone from a 24-cell, two-story building to this 10-structure compound almost.
That's huge.
So, yeah, it grew a lot.
Oh.
So, despite this kind of seemingly counterproductive treatment... that they received, of the 355 patients admitted from 1798 to 1824, there were 134 that were deemed cured and released back into society.
Interesting.
So that was just kind of a fun little fact.
That is a great that I found. Fact.
Their return to sanity is mostly attributed to William Galt. And he is actually the second of three Galts to hold the position of keeper of the hospital. So they kept it in the family.
Hmm.
He observed that patients admitted in the early stages of their illness were far more likely to benefit from the facility's treatment. Quote unquote treatment.
Fall in line and get better.
Yeah. Than those that were so like far into it.
Gotcha.
So. So he... This, you know, Galt really promoted that insanity should not be equated with crime.
Good.
Like, just because you're mentally ill does not mean you are a criminal.
Exactly.
And, you know, he had said that individuals displaying erratic behavior should not be indiscriminately tossed into prison, but first brought to this hospital for evaluation.
AKA this prison.
AKA this prison, but we're a different prison.
Yes, yes.
So that's kind of he, you know, any kind of erratic criminal behavior, you know, is the crime they are committing a product of their mental illness. And he's like, you need to bring them here first.
Mm-hmm.
So we can check them out before you take them to the penitentiary.
To be fair, and even though this... asylum was not great and was very penitentiary like, I mean, I like the idea because mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of individuals nowadays who commit these crimes probably need some psychological assessments
oh,
and some
sure.
help prior to just let's just lock them up because
yeah,
that really helps their mental health
yeah.
issues.
However, even Uh-oh. With this warning, Uh-oh. There were numerous individuals who were kind of eventually deemed to be quote-unquote insane and admitted to the hospital that had already spent a year or more in jail and had endured a lot more abuse from prison guards. So because they had spent this time in jail and were met with all this abuse from guards, any attempt that physicians made to try to treat them was met with just rage and hostility and just they weren't able to be successful.
Because they were being so horribly abused yeah. by these guards.
Yeah. yeah.
Who would you trust?
Right.
You wouldn't trust anybody.
Yeah, it's just
I don't blame them.
In 1833, the Court of Directors saw that stricter laws were passed requiring sheriffs to inform the hospital when they jailed someone suspected of insanity. But even with these laws, around 50 in this document they called them lunatics.
Not kind.
1833
yeah
remained jailed in 1841 due to the hospital's lack of available beds. So which I mean is not unlike what it is now.
I was gonna say, like, how many people can truly get mental health services right. when there's not beds
Enough
to treat
beds. Yep. So this same year, The hospital asked for more funds to expand the buildings, which they did receive. The state allotted funds to employ 8 male and 6 female slaves. Think of where we are in the time period. To help Gott apply his, quote, moral treatment methods on a larger scale and help with patients' day-to-day needs and see to menial labor and general upkeep of the building. So, slave labor.
So, we're not paying for that. So, we're not
paying them.
And we're making money off of the individuals who are here because they have a garden and they're doing all the things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. These are enslaved people that we have brought in to help us do this.
Wonderful.
So, not great.
Great.
So, another kind of crazy thing that was going on around this time was there was a really big increase in syphilis.
Of course.
So,
because people are still doing the nasty.
Yes. Yep. So, there's a lot of syphilis cases.
And, fun fact, syphilis affects the brain.
Sure does. Sure does. So that's why this is significant to this hospital. Because the disease presents itself as psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. So yep. We're seeing paranoia. We're seeing delusions. We're seeing hallucinations.
Yep.
Syphilis.
Yep.
So there's no kind of documented proof that the hospital actually used the one proven cure for syphilis. Which is injecting the patient with blood from someone carrying malaria.
I've never heard that before, but
apparently that was, like, the thing to do.
Okay.
There were many facilities that did this across the country, and there were some that were probably cured because of this very unsanctioned procedure.
Well, because back then there was no such thing as penicillin or condoms.
Right. Yep. So they're just kind of, yeah. Yeah. All right. So this hospital has been through the Revolutionary War. Now they're going to have to go through the Civil War.
And the syphilis.
And the syphilis.
Wow.
On May 6, 1862, Union troops occupied Williamsburg. And they captured the asylum and replaced Dr. Gault with a Union physician.
Another fun fact, Virginia was the last state to secede from the Union.
Mm-hmm. In the days preceding the occupation, their asylum employees fled to avoid capture. That left 252 patients confined to their rooms with minimal supplies and no caretakers except for Dr. Gault. He stayed.
To take care of all those people.
To take care of all those people.
Was he able to?
I mean, this was days before. So, okay. Like, they only suffered a few days.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, he, I mean, as problematic of a person as he probably is, he didn't leave them. Like, he stayed. Like, probably knowing full well he was going to be captured.
And die.
But he was like, you know what? I'm going to stay.
I mean, it says a lot. It really does. He truly did care about them. I mean, it was barbaric.
Yeah.
But
he did.
He cared. Care.
Yeah. So the next 20 years are kind of sketchy records-wise. Like, there's just not a lot of information. Yeah, that
tends to happen.
Because of, you know, war. Mm-hmm. But war brought in a lot of new patients to the facility.
I bet it did.
Because mental health care just really took a plunge.
You don't say. Yeah. You don't say.
And the prevailing theory of the North really viewed treatment of the mentally ill as kind of a waste of time and effort.
Wait a minute. Here is a Southerner listening that the Yankees
weren't
as progressive as we thought they were.
Nah, they said mentally ill, get out of here.
Listen, the other day I saw some guy tied up to a bed and I thought, screw it, just shoot him. Just go on.
Yeah.
You know, so here's the thing. You're not as progressive as you think you are.
I think they were kind of like, you know, why would we even bother treating these people? Like, let's just turn them loose. See what happens. That's so we ignorant. Had kind of a big, like, deinstitutionalization sort of thing happening here before the major deinstitutionalization. Absolutely, because
things come in waves like yeah. that. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
June 7th, 1885. This is a year after the hospital was renamed the Eastern State Hospital. The facility burned to the ground.
What? Was it you?
No.
Okay.
It burned to the ground.
Wow.
They rebuilt several times, like wow. added on and rebuilt
oh, okay.
things like that. It really never returned to this, you know,
its glory days.
This therapeutic state of care that was established under Galt. So it then burnt down again at some point.
Good Lord.
So like, there's the multiple fires, there's a whole thing.
Was it somebody starting the fires
no,
or
I
just
think it's
a...
just, was this just bad building?
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's common back then. There were a lot of fires.
Yeah. In the late 1960s, the hospital was actually moved. In 1972, okay. archaeologists excavated the hospital's original foundation, which still bore signs of the big fire in 1885.
Wow.
Reconstruction was approved in 1979, and the hospital site reopened as a museum in 1985.
Oh, I like that.
So, and I've been into...
The museum?
It's so freaking cool.
Really? I want to go there.
I'm telling you, Colonial Williamsburg is where
okay,
it's at.
Okay, please don't hurt me. You're just really aggressive when you say that. I get it, but how far is that, by the way?
It's not far. It's Virginia.
Well, yes. I just want to know how far I'm driving. I get that you're super excited and you may hurt me if I don't go. So
nice. It's about 6.5 hours.
It's a lengthy
trip. It's a journey, but it's, you know, worth it.
I don't know.
So, visitors today can kind of wander through. They've recreated the cells. Like, they've really, like, recreated all of this. You can see tools and
how
devices.
How much does this cost?
I don't remember. It's been a long time
I'll look it up on the internet.
You can see the tools and devices that were used to treat patients. There's the tranquilizer chair. Do you know about this?
No.
The tranquilizer chair. It was developed by Dr. Benjamin Rush of Philadelphia, who many people consider to be the father of American psychiatry. He believed madness was an arterial disease and ordered treatments such as, you know, laxatives, hot and cold showers, bloodletting, which was all aimed at, like, affecting your blood circulation. The tranquilizer chair was kind of considered to be the step forward in treatment because violent patients were only placed in the restraining device for a limited time. So from what I can understand about this, it's literally like they were just strapped to it, this chair, and like to so tight that you couldn't move. So like the straitjacket.
Yeah, but in a chair.
But a chair version. So that's what it was.
That's scary.
So another weird thing. The hospital frequently used unmarked graves to dispose of patients when they passed away.
That's very common.
Which was a common practice at the time. The Eastern State Hospital does, however, maintain a record of the patients and, you know, kind of what they were admitted for, which is really cool to look at.
I'm sure there it's like simple things too.
Oh, it's crazy. Like,
didn't respect her husband.
Yeah. They have put up 4 granite slabs that have patients' names etched into them. And there's a 5th one that just kind of holds this memorial reading, this like passage. And it says, "We erect this monument in memory of those persons whom we have known, loved, and served through the years. While living, they knew the suffering of inner pain, confusion, and despair. Now they are at peace in the hands of God, where no torment will ever touch them again."
Wow.
Which is kind of profound.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
It is nice.
Like, it's a little creepy, but also, like, kind of nice.
I kind of like it, yeah.
Yeah. So today, Eastern State Hospital really, you know, continues on. It's owned by, I think it's owned by William and Mary College now in Virginia. They own this hospital. The hospital offers community-focused mental health treatment. They have two patient care buildings on 500 acres. They have a staff now of over 900 people that care for 300 patients.
Wow.
So that staff to patient ratio is very nice.
Yes, definitely.
So this is, yeah, and they're kind of a leading hospital now.
Probably a teaching.
Yeah, oh, teaching for sure, yeah. They teach a lot. But yeah, that is the first mental health facility.
So probably super haunted
area. It's super haunted. I couldn't get a lot of really solid ghost stories.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to like speculate, but I have been to the museum and wandered around and seen all of the things. Like, it's really, it is very like a haunting experience. It's really, really cool.
So that's how I felt when I went to Appomattox, and there's a giant spider behind me.
There's one, it's on the wall.
Yeah. We're in my son's playroom. But yeah, when I was in Appomattox, it was just this overwhelming sense that they were there.
Yeah.
Somebody was there.
Yeah.
And you could feel them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real weird.
And when you can feel the emotions of other people, like those who have passed, you know, like the of the area, the place, it's just really heavy.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure, why not? Let's go.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. If you haven't been.
Road tripping.
Definitely recommend.
Your mom can watch my son.
Yeah.
I have plans for your mother.
Yes, yes. Now, I went with school. When I was in, I think it was in middle school. No, it was in high school. I went in high school with a group. And that was really cool. And then we went with my, I went with my family.
Nice.
And it was really neat.
Maybe you can go with your podcast co-host. Ooh.
But yeah, this is on my list for this summer. I definitely want to go back. I'll stay in some like sketchy hotel.
That sounds shady.
Just hang out at Colonial That's Williamsburg.
Weird.
We did a ghost tour. They're really neat. You go at night.
Did you see any ghosts?
I don't remember seeing any ghosts. Or
okay.
Well, we had a really cool like tour guide. It was really funny.
I want to do it.
And he spoke Gaelic.
Really?
Yes.
You don't hear that often.
He spoke Gaelic. He was from
Ireland.
Ireland?
Yeah.
Or Scotland.
Ireland.
Ireland. Yeah. But he Ooh. Taught us at that point how to count to 10 in Gaelic.
That's pretty
cool. All of us, that was a fun little thing we learned as part of our ghost tour.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It was neat.
Ho, ho, ho.
Don't remember any of it, but it was neat. It was fun.
Wow.
But that's it.
So educational. I want to go. Let's do this.
Okay.
When are we doing this? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Let's just do it.
We'll just take off.
I mean,
and
I
go.
Have a birthday party to go to tomorrow, but we can.
Cancel it.
I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't. We've already RSVP'd. We bought the gift, and I really don't want to have to take
after.
It back.
After.
Well, I've got dinner, but.
Okay.
All right.
It's fine. Alrighty. Do you want to tell all the things?
About how to get a hold of us because
sure.
they know they want to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do that.
If you would like to email us, you can do so at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. Send us a good old message on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia. And for the best time ever, come to patreon.com/mountainmysteries. Shout out time, everybody, and Haley's got it for you.
We're gonna do St. Joseph, Missouri.
Woo-hoo! St. Joseph, Missouri.
What a great time.
Always. Well, Haley, I understand that next week you're coming back with another episode.
I am. I sure am.
We get the pleasure of you 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even.
Yep.
I'm so excited.
And we're gonna go to Maine next week.
We never go to Maine.
I know.
Crazy.
Little outside of the mountains, but very worth it.
But still within Appalachia. It's a state that falls within Appalachia.
It does. So we're going to go there next.
See you then. Have a great week, folks.
Bye.
Bye.